Welcome to today's Zach Adams update here, including Zach Voorhees. Well, featuring Zach, he joins us today. And of course, my co-host Todd Pittner here with Decentralized TV. Welcome, Todd. Are you ready for Zach today?
Greetings. Before Zach comes on, I do want to let you know that he laid down a quick challenge before we started recording. And that was, you were playing with a little cube and he said, can you solve that? Oh. And you solved it in less than a minute. So as I shared, I can't even fill in a tic-tac-toe in less than a minute. So,
well, but I have an unsolved one here that I'll have to work on. But anyway, let's
bring him in.
This is like Geekville today, you know, between the three of us. We're all fans of AI, and Zach, you know, is a former Google engineer and the Google whistleblower. So welcome, Zach, to the show. It's great to have you here.
Good to be back. Thank you for having me on, Mike.
It's great to have you here, Zach. So we're doing this every week with you now, and I want to thank you for that. And the thing is, it's moving so quickly in tech and AI and data centers and all of that, that we really need a weekly update. So we greatly appreciate you joining us.
Yeah. Very big events happening this week. NVIDIA stock's going down a little bit because OpenAI has announced that they are doing a custom AI chip deal with Broadcom, and that's going to have a huge number of effects. Now, as you know, NVIDIA has a monopoly globally on these AI chips. And there's been a lot of people trying to figure out how to get around this. AMD has kind of poked around, but Google's had its TPU. But this is the first time that a major AI provider at scale is basically routing around NVIDIA and going with a Broadcom.
Okay, real quick, Zach, this is going to be an inference optimized chip. Is that right?
Correct, yes.
And so what kind of improvement in inference throughput are we going to get compared to the generalized, you know, PyTorch approach?
That's not clear yet. There's the details of like what the capabilities are haven't been publicly released. But I mean, this is a big step in the right direction.
Yeah, and it's also interesting because OpenAI, this might be the first thing that they have that actually has a real strong revenue stream long term, right? Hardware.
Yeah. And also, you know, as we know last week, Fable, you know, was continued to be banned, and it looks like they're going to see the light of day so that they may not be banned very soon, but you are going to have to sign up with a government-issued ID in order to prove who you are, that you're an American citizen, and that's going to be rolled out here real quick. Let me focus here a little bit. I forgot to focus before I started.
No worries. So wait, real quick. While you're doing that, let me bring in Todd. So Todd, are you ready for your government rectal exam and thumbprint and iris scan and everything that's going to be necessary?
I prefer it, Mike. I really want AI regulation to go geopolitical. I think that serves us all best. Yeah.
Is that Avatar speaking?
that's trained Avatar to go with right. The mainstream.
But Zach, you know, isn't that just going to push more people to open source Chinese models?
Well, yes, it is. But what was really interesting is that this week, there was an article that came out by Reuters that was saying that, you know, for now, the Trump administration is punting on a ban of DeepSeek R1. And that begs the question, when do we have a policy of, you know, banning and skipping the ban? Apparently, that's been going on now, and they've kind of disclosed it by saying that they're not going to ban it for now, which means that they're going to ban it here pretty soon in the future. Now, I've been on your show telling you that the U.S. government's going to put up a big, giant American firewall between it and the other AIs, and that right now our access to these open source models is time limited, which is why if you know how to download these things, you need to download it before Trump comes in and puts in its export controls on these models, because there's going to be a clampdown that will be coming But, and what you think will be like, hey, this is a forever opportunity. It's just going to keep on getting better and better. No, it's not. The trapdoor will slam shut sometime in the future.
Okay, now, Zach, a quick question. I understand they can easily ban the use of these models by government offices, you know, federal offices. But are you saying that you think they're going to do a blanket ban where private citizens of America and all the companies that are using Qwen models, for example, right now, will all be criminalized for using models from China?
Eventually, that's going to happen. They're going to criminalize it. But it's a lot easier at this point if they just go after the supply, right? So if there's a supplier of AI inference, you just tell them, hey, you know, at first it's going to be like, hey, you got to like collect all the information on the people that you're supplying to, like what's their government ID, what's their citizenship status. But then as it goes further along, eventually they're going to, you know, once these models get very, very powerful, the government's going to have no choice but to criminalize these, you know, the possession of these models. And you know, typically it'll be like, well, do you have a license, a digital attestation
that
you are allowed access to these models? And if you're not, either the supplier will get in trouble for not enforcing those locks or you yourself will go to jail.
Wow. Well, I can't wait to interview some First Amendment lawyers who are going to sue over this. Todd, can you imagine a world where in America we have a great firewall that we used to condemn China for having?
It's you know? Great. Yeah, it's like future sanctions will simply become, bruh, sorry, but your country can't use our model. Could regulations, though, Zach, accelerate Chinese open source AI?
Regulations in what way? Like regulations
you mean like
that
US?
We have?
Yeah.
Like if we clamp down on regulations for our own. Yeah, absolutely. And this is the big problem is that we've just had the largest self-own in the history of AI technology, which is, you know, just a few years old, where the Trump administration came out and said, hey, look, everybody, Fable 3, you can't access it anymore. Well, actually, what they did is they went to Anthropic and they said, look, you've got to verify that every single person that's using it is not a foreign-born citizen of this country. And they said, well, we can't do that, so we're just going to pull it for everyone. Then GLM 5.2 came out, the direct competitor to Anthropic. And they're now nipping at the heels of this new model. And now, if you want to get one of the best models, it's not an American model, it's a Chinese model. Now, what does that say to our European allies? Hey, you want the best model? Don't buy it in America unless you're American. And that's just going to drive them to China and into our adversaries' hands.
So, wow. Do you think that these AI models will get open access if they get mRNA vaccinated?
Maybe if you get mRNA vaccinated, you'll be able to get access, right? How else are you going to be able to prove your digital ID?
Good point.
So, I mean, they're going to turn us all into like LLM criminals. You know, I always thought I would be arrested one day for smuggling broccoli seeds, you know, but apparently it's going to be for smuggling LLMs. You know, like, hey, buddy, you want to meet me in the parking lot? I got a thumb drive. I got some vectors. I got some weights. You know, is that what we're going to have, like AI police running around and kicking in doors, shooting people over the wrong models?
I mean, you're going to have to scan that CSV. That's over, you know, a megabyte, you know, and it's really interesting is that these models keep on getting smaller. Google just published this paper recently that said they could hack off one of the largest parts of the AI mechanism and that they could now do without it. And they're able to finally shrink a lot of these models onto something that could run on the size of a graphics card on someone's desktop computer. And what's going to be really interesting is that I think that as this technology gets better, as this AI starts becoming more into the design and programming loop of these future AIs, you know, we may be able to put an AI on your desktop computer and have it to be just as powerful as the ones right now that need, you know, 256 gigabytes of memory. Mm-hmm. You know, can you run them in 8 gigabytes of memory? And if you can do that, then that's a revolution. Because that means it's, you know, God in a pocket for everyone with a computer.
Right. And our government cannot allow us to have access to knowledge. I mean, I've done podcasts about this too. Whereas if you take the knowledge of humanity and you compress it, you can put it into basically, you know, an LLM. And if you know how to prompt it, you can extract that knowledge and you can bypass censorship. That is what the government can't allow. That's why these AI models are being forced to carry, you know, CIA narratives about everything from vaccines right. to the cancer industry to 9/11, you name it. It's all going to be enforced.
Right. Well, and what's really interesting is that there was this talk, this interview done by Mark Andreessen. He's the guy that invented Netscape. Right. And he got dragged into this Biden meeting. And during this meeting, he's like, well, you guys can't ban AI. What are you going to guys do? Are you going to ban math, mathematics,
linear algebra?
You're not gonna do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what they said to him was, oh, yeah, we can ban math. We've done it before with physics.
They did with the nuclear program, with the Manhattan Project.
Yeah. They banned an entire branch of theoretical physics that you can't study, you know, which is why, like, hey, well, why do we have this like nonsense string theory and all this other, you know, quantum weirdness? It's because we literally have an entire branch of mathematics, of theoretical physics, deleted off of public knowledge because the CIA told them to do that because it was part of a national security, you know, issue. And so absolutely the government will go ahead and ban AI. Now, here's the problem.
But that, yeah, that would be crippling our country in terms of competitiveness.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. AI equals power.
Right.
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 And is the government, now if the government goes ahead and, you know, bans certain classes of AI, well, is the rest of the world going to follow along with it? I don't think so.
I have the perfect acronym. MADA, Make America Dumb Again.
Yeah.
That's what it'll be. It's like, how do we dumb down the entire population and block all access to cognition? Yeah, ban AI for the American people.
Ban AI, then use Reddit as your sole training source of data.
Or Fox News, for that matter.
Or Fox News.
Yeah,
or right. CNN, right?
Right.
That's how you get AI idiocracy.
Unbelievable. Wow. So this is going to be quite a... Well, Todd, in other words, this show will have no shortage of topics to talk about
The
coming years. Yeah.
So, Zach, are Chinese open models becoming impossible to stop?
It's starting to look like that. Like, what was really interesting is that you had Eric Schmidt late last year saying that we were 5 years ahead of Google's artificial intelligence. And then that was at Stanford. And that Stanford talk was quickly scrubbed from the internet. And then very shortly later, like 3 months, he came back and he's like, well, actually, we miscalculated the gap between what America has and what China has. Now it's about a year. And then after that, again, he made another correction. He's like, okay, well, now it's months. And now it's looking like it's weeks, right? Like,
wow.
Babel comes out, GLM 5.2 comes out, neck and neck. And the question is that, you know, obviously China's coming up here like this. Is there going to be a crossover point? And then is China just going to take the AI lead after that? That's very possible, especially now that this single supplier of AI inference, which was NVIDIA, right? Their hardware ran it. Now what it's looking like is that all the other manufacturers are figuring out how to make chips that aren't NVIDIA. Which means that suddenly the global supply chain is no longer controlled by a single hardware cartel. It's going to be the free and open market of a plethora of chips that are able to drive all of this AI stuff.
Did you know AMD is kicking ass in this space? I'm actually rooting for AMD on this. And I don't know if you know this, but the reason the CEO of AMD looks kind of like Jensen Huang is because she's his cousin.
Uh-oh. Yeah. I did not know that.
No, they're from the same Taiwan family, actually. Mm. Yeah, right. So it's a family competing against each other for different branches of hardware. But what I love about what AMD is doing is they are doing this, you know, high bandwidth unified RAM, very large amounts of RAM. They have 192 gig unified platform coming out, like a Strix Halo Plus or whatever they call it, that is going to be, I think, quite fast. you know, for personal use, right? It's not going to replace a data center. And I'm you and I are both tired of all the hype artists out there like, this box can replace a data center. No, it can't. No, but it can be useful for you, you know? That's coming. What do you think?
Look, if you're one agent, right, and you're willing to do a few words a second,
right?
Yeah, you could run a powerful model on a very powerful Macintosh, right?
Right now, but yeah, exactly.
Now, right now, but I mean, if you're doing real work, you're gonna want to have, you know, 100 tokens a second at least, you know, or maybe even 200.
Says the token snob.
Yeah.
You want 200 tokens a second. Most of us have to get by with like 25. You know what I mean?
Let like, them eat haiku.
We would all love 200 tokens a second. But see, but our audience needs to understand, Zach, you run like multiple CLIs. You're running multiple inference, you know, different code projects simultaneously. I am too, but I don't think I ever get 200 a second.
I probably get 1,000 a second. Yeah. I mean, I'm doing agent swarms. Yeah. Agent swarms, they go out, they look at the code base, and then they find like all the different bugs with different strategies, and then they list them all. And then I do another agent swarm that fixes them up. And then, you know, and then we have our code review, and then there's that final, you know, pass where they fix up all the bugs, and then boom. So the idea of running all of that locally is not going to happen at 26 tokens a second.
Yeah,
whole pipeline that I've described, instead of running in an hour, will take literally like a week to run, you know, because like my token budget, right, for the last week on just Anthropic, just for OpenAI itself was a billion tokens.
Whoa.
Like I outputted a billion tokens last week with OpenAI. Now, these open models are 26 tokens a second. So how many tokens are in a week? 86,000? I don't know. That's going to take forever.
You are the token master, my friend. Let me ask you quickly about Anthropic now is claiming that China is using, quote, distillation attacks, which means you're just, you know, you're signing up and you're using the Anthropic engine, and then you're using those answers to train your other Chinese models. But I've seen Anthropic recycle this claim every couple of months, so I'm not totally buying it, but I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, no. The company that copied everybody else and hijacked their data is now complaining that a Chinese manufacturer stole their data that they stole from everybody else. Like, right. Crimea River, nobody cares. It's the thief being stolen by a thief and crying foul. Like, no one's going to stop it. No one's going to do anything. Everybody should copy from each other, right? Like, let's get all of the LLMs. Let's get them all into a general counsel. Let's have them all, you know, give their answer, and then we'll distill all of them. We'll figure out which one's the best out of all these consoles, right? Like, it's a good thing ultimately because it progresses the innovation of our collective humanity forward. I welcome it. That is definitely the answer, and it's going to allow us to run really powerful AI inference with a smaller model. Like these distillers, like you can't run an Anthropic model on hardware, even if it was open, but you can do it with, you know, Qwen, with DeepSeek R1. Like they have open source versions of this, even if they're degraded down to like a 1-bit quantized model. Sorry for getting too jargon laden here. You can still run them.
They suck at that level, but yeah, you can still run them.
You still run them.
Okay. Let me give out, first of all, your website is zachvoorhees.com. I want to encourage people to go there, check out your work, your book, your videos, all of that. And also I'll ask you for your Twitter handle again. I want to show you this, Zach. I have been able, you know, my Bright Learn book project, I've been running local translations of the book covers, and I've achieved almost 1,000 French language book covers, and I vibe coded all this using open source models, and it's pretty good actually, these French covers. So I'm not using Google, I'm not using Nano Banana, anything. This is all local, and plus we have 1,000 Spanish covers, and now I'm doing Chinese. So it's slow, but it works, man. Making it work. Thank God.
You have like a cluster of like AI inference running to like make those books?
Well, I actually only have one workstation dedicated to the book image translations. It's just doing those 24/7. And it takes like a couple of minutes per cover because it has to, you know, OCR its own result and then fix stuff. But at the end of the day, I mean, I'm cranking, you know, I don't know, a couple hundred books a day, something like that. It's working.
One machine.
One machine. Yeah. One machine.
Incredible. That's incredible, man. That's it. How many books you got now? I know your goal is what? 50,000?
We're at 67,000 books overall. Yeah. 68,000. Here it is. Yeah. 68,000 books, 13,000 authors. And, you know, all the books are open source, folks, right? I mean, you can download them, share them. We want to educate people. And I know you agree with that, Zach. Todd, we're almost running out of time here. So I know you've got a bunch of questions. Hit us with your next one.
Well, it's not really a question. It's just picking up on what Zach said, which is really all part of the Zach Adams effect, which he was saying, getting all the LLMs together, you know, in one room. And I'm like, only here are you going to hear about an AI tech orgy. That is awesome, guy. No, I have some of this as, and by the way, maybe next week you guys can, because there are 99.5% of us out there that don't know what the hell a billion tokens a second is, or what give us a token education next week. Just a brief one. I know for you guys, it may be like, oh, come on. But I represent a lot of our viewers. I'm like, I don't get the token thing so much.
Okay, yeah, we'll do a token primer next week, but go ahead, yeah.
Okay, great. This week, every time you come on, I'm like doing some research, just trying to see what's up in AI, and I stumbled upon AI Talent Wars, and I just wanted to get your feedback on this. This week, I've read that AI talent has become, I think, more valuable than AI models, and researchers are moving around like NBA free agents. Has AI entered its NBA superstar era where a handful of researchers, I think like Noam Shazier and John Jumper, that they matter more than entire companies, Zach?
Well, what's interesting is that, you know, it used to be that the model was the most intelligent model was the best, right? That's where everybody's getting their leverage. And what it's starting to shift from is the best model wins to the best agent wins, which is how do you guide that intelligence intelligently towards a specific task? And so, yes, there is this effect where people are now sharing skills that allows this AI system to adapt itself to a particular technology, right? Whether that's Google Drive, for example. There was a firing this last week with Google Cloud. One of the engineers came out with a product that was so good that allowed AI agents to access Google services that Google decided to fire him for whatever reasons. Did you hear about this story?
I did, yeah. And yeah. I also saw a lot of engineers just quit Google and they moved over to Anthropic. Those are AI guys.
Right. Right. And what's happening is that it's less about the intelligence of the model. And now we're going into an agent era where it's the harness, the framework. How do you set up the conditions so that this large language model, which at the back end only does text, right? Like it doesn't have the ability to call tools. The ability for it to like write files or access the internet is actually being done with a harness that translates what the AI is saying into actual calls that it interacts with on the system. And so that's the superstar moment right now. That's where people are making their money. These agent harnesses, which are able to review code, hack into systems, and do this and that.
Okay. All right. Well, next week, I want to ask you about the hacking and how vulnerable our infrastructure is to things like Mythos or Fable 5 or jailbroken versions of that. But we're out of time for today. Let me give out your website again. It's zachvoorhees.com. And what's your X handle again, Zach?
Perpetual Maniac. Or you can just search for Zach Voorhees. You'll find it either way.
Okay, there we go. Perpetual Maniac. Follow him on X, everybody. And this has been another episode of the Zach Adams Effect, which Todd named. So thank you, Todd, for that name.
Boom.
And also, Todd, when you said Earth has receipts during our interview with Randall Carlson, that became the title of my article about and the episode, the whole episode. So you're like the title master. So
I would title this one, you know, within the world of AI, instead of follow the money, it's now follow the nerds.
Follow the nerds. Yeah, and I solved that other cube during the show, of course.
You did. Done.
Yeah. So thank you, guys. Thank you, Zach. It's great to have you here today. We'll see you again next week. Be well.
See you, Zach. Right. Thank you.
All right, and thank you all for watching. This has been the Zach Adams Effect here at decentralized.tv. Join us next time and for all the other episodes that you can find online at decentralized.tv. Take care.
Cheers.
Join the official discussion channel for this show on Telegram at t.me/decentralizedTV, where you can ask questions or offer suggestions of who we should interview next. Also, be sure to subscribe to the email newsletter on decentralized.tv, where you'll be alerted about one day in advance of each new upcoming episode before it gets published. On decentralized.tv, you'll also find links to our video channels and social media channels across all platforms, including Brighteon, Rumble, BitChute, Twitter, Truth Social, and more. Check it all out at decentralized.tv.
Savor rich, cheesy goodness made with clean, organic ingredients. Our mac and cheese combines quinoa elbows and a flavorful mix of organic dairy and spices for a delicious, ready-to-cook meal. Stock up today at healthrangerstore.com.